You're listening to the Euros Update. For all the latest sports betting news, head to news.ladbrokes.com.
Hello and bienvenue to another Euros Update. My name's William Geldart. Today I'm joined by Ladbrokes News' Dave Burin and Rich Marsh to get the verdict on the latest from France. And as you'd expect, we'll also be throwing in a smattering of odds for good measure too. Coming up, we're going to be hearing from both Dave and Rich on their Euro stories so far. Rich has actually been out and about in France, so expecting plenty of salacious tales. We'll also be discussing the last 16 as it stands, Gareth Bale, possible top scorers, as well as look at some of the other permutations in more detail. All right, gents, so as it stands, it's Wednesday the 22nd of June. We're now oh so close to knowing the completed lineup for the last 16. Firstly, of course, congratulations to Wales, Northern Ireland and England for making it through. Let's hope the Republic of Ireland can join them later on as well. And well done, Dave and Rich, because Dave, you were adamant Northern Ireland are going to get through, and Rich, you actually tipped them up to get exactly 3 points. So how good does that feel?
Very, and especially so in the way they won their 3 points. No one really fancied them to beat Germany, but I was confident they'd get one of Poland or the Ukraine, and it proved to be exactly that way.
And Dave, you were pretty sweet on Northern Ireland before the tournament started, or at least you were bigging them up. Do you feel vindicated?
Yeah, I thought defensively in qualifying they were extremely solid, and they've proven that it's the goal difference in the end that's got them through, and they've kept Germany down to one goal, kept a very, very good Poland side who had the highest scorer in qualifying in Lewandowski down to one goal, and you know, beat the Ukraine pretty comfortably. So it's a fantastic achievement from them. I don't necessarily think the last 16 is as far as they can go. I could see them maybe getting to the quarters.
All right, well, that's interesting. I mean, we've got a potential another Battle of Britain in the offing. It could be Wales v Northern Ireland, or Northern Ireland could get France, which would be maybe not so great. Wales, they could get Albania, although that's unlikely. Northern Ireland, as I said, or Turkey. I mean, Dave, you said Northern Ireland get to the quarters. Do you really think they could beat Wales?
I wouldn't say they're favourites, but I think they've certainly got a chance. Defensively, they're extremely strong. One of Wales's biggest threats comes from set pieces. Northern Ireland themselves they've got a big, strong defence, the likes of McCauley and McLaughlin in there, so I think they'd be able to combat that threat. And at the other end against Ukraine, once they got going, they looked lively coming forward. They've got the likes of Greig up front and obviously Kyle Lafferty. Yeah, I think Wales would probably edge it, but I certainly don't think it's unrealistic to back Northern Ireland for that one, especially if the odds for them to win turn out to be quite long. They could be an inspired selection.
All right, well, moving ahead to England then. I mean, as we speak, obviously their next opponent isn't decided. One of Austria, Iceland, Portugal or Hungary. We'll get your thoughts on who you'd fancy out of that lot. But Dave, you recently spoke to former England striker Emil Heskey, and he had a few words on perhaps why England might not be such a bad thing to face Portugal.
Yeah, when I spoke with Emil, he made the very good point that England, because of the pace they have in the likes of Vardy and Kane, would probably be better suited to playing a side who come out and attack, so England can get into those pockets of space, and that it's against the smaller teams and the more defensive sides like Slovakia, where England are having to do all the attacking and playing in front of 10 men, and you know, that pace isn't quite as effective in those situations. So I think Emil fancies England playing Portugal more than maybe he would against an Iceland or Hungary.
Yep, and England, most attempts at Euro 2016, 65, with 26 of those off target. So even if it did open up, as you say, or Emil Heskey said, a little bit more against Portugal. I mean, Rich, is that a concern for you?
Certainly is, because it tells you one of two things, if not two things. One, our strikers haven't got the conviction. And two, we're not producing the right quality of chances in the first place. And knowing England, it's probably both of those things. And it's just classic England. We go in to the second round, we've qualified, but we're miserable about it. The lucky thing is, we should be able to beat anyone from that Group F that we've come across. It just depends what will Roy choose to do with regards to his team selection.
All right, well, that's a point we're going to explore in Friday's podcast. Let's have a look at a game we definitely know is on in the last 16, and it's an absolute belter, Italy v Spain. Italy are the 3-1 outsiders for this. The draw is 19-10. Spain, the 11-10 favourites. What do we think there, gents? Do you think the bookies are still underrating Italy, or have they got it right?
I think they're massively underrating Italy, and I will just get in a mention for my bet on Italy to win their group. I don't think Spain have looked terribly impressive, and I think that's part of the issue. It's an overrating of Spain based on their, you know, back-to-back Euros wins in 2008 and 2012. But so far this time, they squeezed past the Czech Republic and were fortunate to. They were outclassed by Croatia, and their only convincing win was against a very, very poor Turkey side on the night. Italy, by contrast, to a defensive masterclass against Belgium and a couple of great goals, and then thoroughly deserving to beat Sweden. So, to be honest, I think that the 3-1 for Italy to win and the 11-10 for Spain to win, I'd probably have them the other way around myself.
All right, well, let's have a quick check then on the tournament winner odds, the outright. So, I mean, the bookies are against you, Dave. I mean, France, they are 4-1 with Spain, joint favourites. So both of those sides 4-1. So the bookies still favouring Spain. Germany, they're 9-2. Croatia, they're the big movers. They've come into 7-1 now, with Belgium at 15-2. Belgium have gone right out. Now they come back in again. So it's an ever-changing picture. England, they've been pushed out. They're 11s now. Italy have shortened a bit. They're 12s alongside Portugal. And then you're looking at the rest. So it's Poland at 20s. Wales, 28-1. 28-1 bar. So an interesting picture there. Rich, if you had to put some money on it, or if you are looking to put some money on it, where would that be going right now?
It'll be going on possibly one of those latter teams. And I'll tell you why, we haven't touched on it yet. But the draw, the way it's split, is you've got France, Germany, Spain, Italy and England, one half of the draw. So four of those five straight away and not even making the final. The other side, Wales' side, the side that England could have had, is superb. I think Belgium, Poland, Croatia, tough teams, but historically you can beat them. And Wales showed so far, they've got a conviction. They needed Bale and Ramsey to turn up. Bale's a joint top scorer. He's done his bit. 28-1. Well, we should have got on it before. Whoever they play in the next round, they win that, they'll come in again. I'd say get on Wales sooner rather than later. Just, they'll have a run.
All right, big favouritism for Wales there. And you're absolutely right. They're big guns. They need them to deliver. And they certainly have so far. Especially that man you mentioned, Gareth Bale, a joint top goal scorer on 3 goals with Spain's Alvaro Morata. Dave, you were actually involved in the PR hype machine that created the Bale to score 5-plus goals at the Euros market. That was, now in hindsight, an incredible 6-1. And as I said, Alvaro Morata in that top tournament goal scorer market, he's got 3 goals. Dimitri Payet on 2. You'd think France are going to get a bit further and he can get a few more. And Romelu Lukaku on 2 goals as well. So Morata is 7-2 favourite to be top tournament goal scorer. Bale 4-1. Dave, well, first of all, congratulations on that market. Well, maybe a bit premature perhaps, but you can certainly see that punters are getting great run for their money.
Absolutely. We've seen some terrific football from Wales, as Rich had, and Bale's been very much at the heart of that. 2 great set piece goals. I don't think that Joe Hart or the Slovakian keeper had any chance with those ones, and obviously a lovely finish against Akinfeev against Russia as well. So his all-round play has been great, but, you know, 3 finishes which were absolutely top draw, and, you know, Wales are through to the last 16 now, and there's no reason he can't go on and grab one or two more.
All right, just a few more odds in that top tournament goal scorer market. Lukaku mentioned him, he's 6-1, Payet 10-1. Ivan Perisic, Croatia, 12-1. Ronaldo right out now to 14-1. Giroud, 16s. And Thomas Muller's 20s. In the case of Ronaldo, Giroud and Muller, they were, you know, right up there pre-tournament, but they've been pushed out. Let's move on then. Something I mentioned at the top of the programme. What's been your Euros story so far? And Rich, I am going to start with you because you've been there in France. Tell us what it was like.
Delightful. Absolutely delightful. And I'll tell you the main reason for that is those boys in green and white, the Northern Ireland fans. I managed to go to the Ukraine Northern Ireland game and they won 2-0, and they deserve to win 2-0. And their fans have been incredible. They stay after the game, they arrive early, and they don't stop singing. They're absolutely fantastic. And that's what this expanded format has really allowed a lot of teams and thousands of fans to do, is to have that opportunity that some have never had before. And that, for me, has been the story. Albania, too, they've had a wonderful time. That, for me, has been the story so far this summer.
I think I'd touch on that point as well and go with, you know, the emergence of quite a lot of underdog sides doing better than expected. You've had Iceland keeping out Cristiano Ronaldo, now famously. They've taken 2 points. Obviously, Wales, their first time in a tournament, topping Group B. You've seen, you know, Hungary doing well. They've not been in the Euros for a while. With the legendary tracky bottom Gabor Kirai, of course. And Albania could still get through after their 1-0 win over Romania. And to be honest, they were unlucky not to take a point against either France or Switzerland. So it's just been such an open tournament. And again, like Rich said, it vindicates the 2014 format because, you know, there's been absolutely no argument that the new boys and the teams who got in through the playoffs as well have been absolutely worth their place in the tournament and have provided a lot of the most exciting moments of it so far.
I think we should use Gabor Kirai's official tag. He is known as the Pajama Prince, or he shall be henceforth, according to me. Please feel free to use that one. Yeah, you're absolutely right on all those points, gents. And there have been a few recurring themes which you've touched upon. The rise of the underdog, Northern Ireland, Wales, Albania, Hungary, Iceland, and a few others as well. Late goals, 17 of the 58 goals scored have come in the 76th minute and beyond. We have seen general consensus is very good officiating. Maybe not for Croatia-Spain last night. Maybe a soft penalty for Spain, and the Subasic, well, he was practically bear-hugging Sergio Ramos by the time he saved that penalty. Has been low scoring, but absorbing, I guess. 1.81 goals per match, so that's a goal scored every 50 minutes. Wales are actually leading the goals per game chart with 2. Missed penalties, maybe put a line through that. I know obviously the Romanians got a couple in, but we have now seen some high profile misses, Cristiano Ronaldo and Sergio Ramos. What else do you think we can expect to see as the tournament proper, if you like, begins?
I think we will see, again, talking about the underdogs, continue to be competitive. You know, sides like Iceland who've shown, and Wales who've shown no fear in their first tournament. And I think we might well see a few new names in the final eight. Often the last four and the last eight of these tournaments, you get the same names cropping up. France, Italy, Germany, Spain, and England, and so on. And I think it may be a little bit different this time. I think the late drama will continue. There's been a lot of that. I think because of the heat as well, defences are tiring quite a lot. There's quite a lot of teams who are playing counter-attacking football as well and, you know, picking sides off in the closing minutes. So, you know, everyone loves a bit of late drama, so long may that continue.
Rich, how about you? Do you join me that with Dave about the heat and the tiring? We could see, especially in these knockout format, maybe a few red cards, a few lost heads, if you like, a bit more drama.
It's going to be quite a few of those. You know how this knockout format can work. I agree with Dave about the late goals. What I will say is I think we'll see much more goals per game. And I'm going to contradict myself. I mean, the benefit and the plus points of the expanded format have been brilliant for fans and things, but I think it's been directly negative to the type of football we've seen in the group stage. Some teams have turned up to play for a draw because they have to, because they know that may well get you through. But obviously that doesn't apply in the knockout stage. So I think we'll see teams going for it from the off, try and get a goal in early, and then another before half-time. I think we'll definitely see that goals per game number go up, and we'll see some much more dramatic games, I think.
All right, good stuff. I forgot to mention, actually, my story of the Euros, or part of it, which mainly revolves around this. Mario Gomez indeed, and we heard that loud and proud yesterday in the office when he did score against Northern Ireland. The Mario Gomez button, props to tomnash.eu for that. Go to that website and you will be able to press that button and hear that lovely ditty every time Mario Gomez scores for Germany. So what a story, and what a collection of stories we've had throughout the tournament. I think that just about wraps it up anyway for this podcast. Before we sign off, there's just time to remind you of our incredible headline promotion for the Euros. It's money back if it's a draw for all matches involving England, Wales, Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland. Money back is a free bet up to £25. Head to ladbrokes.com for the full terms and conditions. And of course, for all the latest odds and offers. That's all from us. Thank you, Dave and Rich. We'll be back on Friday to take a more in-depth look at the last 16. And we'll catch you again next time.
Ladbrokes wants you to enjoy gambling in a fun and responsible manner. If gambling has stopped being fun for you, please visit www.gambleaware.co.uk.